After more than a decade in Afghanistan, U.S. troops are finally leaving.
Our mission will change from combat to support. By 2014, this process of transition will be complete, and the Afghan people will be responsible for their own security.
That was President Obama speaking back in 2011. There are still 68,000 troops in that country, but thousands have already come home from Afghanistan, Iraq, and other countries. And when they return, they start the long process of transition to civilian life.
I started thinking that everybody was really crazy and that all drivers were out to kill bicyclists. And while that might be partially true, I ride really aggressively and I enjoy putting myself in maybe life-threatening situations.
That's Matt Cruz, a veteran who served in Kosovo back in the 1990s. Veterans like Cruz struggle with unemployment, alcoholism, and mental health issues. One report estimates that in 2010, an average of 22 veterans committed suicide every day.
For us, you know, when we work with people with trauma, we really want to help people to allow those experiences to come up, those thoughts and those feelings to arise, and rather than have the person avoid them, have them stay present with them so that it can kind of naturally be processed and passed through and be let go of.
Jeff Stadler is a therapist on the Menlo Park campus of the Palo Alto Veterans Administration. He says veterans deal with a range of issues, from post-traumatic stress to persistent anxiety. And while talk therapy can help, it's not for everyone. So he and other therapists are turning to treatments like art therapy, outdoor adventures, and meditation. KLW's Judy Silber brings us that story.
In many ways, Nathan and Leslie Keith are well-adjusted, regular people.
My name is Leslie Keith. I was in the Navy from April 1999 to April 2010, total of 11 years.
My name is Nathan Keith. I joined the Navy in 1996, February, and I got out approximately 16 years later.
They're both in their early 40s, friendly, and they obviously care a lot about one another. Nathan Keith speaks with pride about the day he met Leslie on a military base in Kuwait. They're now married, and they both study and work at the same time. On the surface, they lead stable lives. But dig a little deeper, and you'll find that the Keiths are in the middle of a serious struggle. It started in 2006, just after they came back from Kuwait.
I think that we both came back a little not as patient with other people. And because we came from such a traumatic place, from such a tense environment.
Neither Leslie nor Nathan saw combat. But in Kuwait, they felt what was happening in Iraq. Leslie screened soldiers for PTSD and plucked shrapnel from the wounded. Her husband worked as a customs and border patrol guard, and some of the convoy drivers he befriended disappeared. Initially, to cope, they drank a lot. Like on a week-long cruise they took a few months after they got back.
We went on this cruise and we ended up spending, almost $2,000?
Yeah.
Just in alcohol.
I think that we were both stressed out. I don't know if you'd call it PTSD per se, but we just drank for that comfort and to help us calm down because you are so hypervigilant when you come back to the States and it takes a long time to just really settle down and just be able to relax.
Right now, the Keiths are not officially diagnosed with PTSD, but they both suffer from anxiety, and Leslie came back sick from Kuwait. She couldn't sleep well or remember simple things, like whether she'd eaten or taken a shower. Eventually, she was diagnosed with a parathyroid disorder, possibly caused by her time overseas. The Keiths left the Navy in 2010. That was especially tough on Nathan. They both found help at the VA, but still felt isolated and depressed. Then a VA counselor suggested they try something different, a Zen meditation retreat, just for veterans.
We always honor everybody's bravery when you come for the first time to some event when you have no idea what you're walking into, and now you come.
Inside a large yurt, a meditation teacher speaks to a group of 25 veterans, including the Keiths. They're at Green Gulch Farm, a retreat center in Marin, right off Highway 1. It's quiet here, peaceful. Leslie is excited for the one-day workshop. Nathan, not so much.
That's just me nowadays. I was looking for literally any reason to not go. And then when we got up, I was just like, okay, fine, I'll go. I'll go.
So we're just going to start off with introductions.
The teacher is Lee Lesser, and she's the executive director of Honoring the Path of the Warrior, or HPW. It's the nonprofit that organized this gathering.
Where you served, when you served.
Hi, my name is Matt Cruz. I served from 97 to 2003 in the Army. I was infantry.
Hey everybody, I'm Sam. I was in the Army. I did 7 years. I was a mechanic and a combat medic. I was medevaced out of Iraq. Ended up in Germany.
My name is Jesse. I was an Army military police slash medic, and I served from 2002 to 2008. I went to 2 tours in Iraq. My second tour, I received a traumatic brain injury, which in turn made me have a stroke. I cannot use my left side.
Some of the vets have been coming to HPW for years. Others, like the Keiths, are here for the first time. Despite his initial reluctance, Nathan Keith opened right up.
Morning, everybody. I'm Nathan Keith. I was stationed on the Iraq-Kuwait border as a Navy Customs and Border Patrol agent, as a reservist. I've met a lot of great people. I've lost some really great friends. To have the military say that you're a great person as long as you're deployed, but when you get back to the States, we don't need you. And that's what happened.
It's an intense opening to the day. After introductions, Lee Lesser passes around fist-sized sandbags and tells the veterans to also grab a meditation cushion. When she rings a bell, she tells them to pair up and toss the objects back and forth as fast as they can.
You ever play the game Hot Potato when you were kids? You know, so it's like a hot potato. You don't want to keep it in your hand. And are you holding your breath, or is your breath moving freely?
Lesser isn't a vet herself. She's a longtime student of Zen Buddhism. When the U.S. invaded Iraq in 2003, she was reminded of the Vietnam War and how hard it was for soldiers when they came home. This time around, she wanted to help.
Somehow it just pulled at me. I wanted to do something. And what I felt like I could offer is the practice of sensory awareness, which is the practice I've relied on since I was 19 years old.
Pausing. Pausing and just noticing what aliveness you feel in your body now.
It's being in your body, being with your breath, being with our natural sensations as an anchor. And I felt that if veterans would be interested, this would be useful.
I'd like you to get just a little bit closer, and this time you're going to exchange with your eyes closed.
At the first event 7 years ago, the focus was more on sitting meditation. But the vets couldn't sit still, so Lesser and her co-founder decided to include moving meditations with activities like hiking, rock climbing, or whitewater rafting, all the while tuning in to body and breath. Today at Green Gulch, the group gets quieter as the day passes, as if the vets are becoming more at ease. After lunch, the group walks to a garden. They stop occasionally when a bell rings, just to listen. They then gather around a tree where HPW co-founder Chris Fortin points to chamomile growing in the grass.
You know about chamomile? It's calming.
I would even suggest that you might want to just right now lay down in a patch of chamomile. let your body, if you want to, feel the support of the earth underneath you and the sweet smell of the chamomile.
Doing things that not only calm the mind but also help calm the body can be really helpful, and so we are seeing a lot more of that.
That's Jeff Stadler. He's a therapist with the VA in Menlo Park. He says mindfulness exercises can be helpful for veterans with PTSD or for those who just come home anxious and hypervigilant. The VA itself is starting to use similar practices.
I suspect that in the future that we're going to be seeing a lot more of it, and it's going to become maybe a much more integrated part and more readily offered type of approach than it is right now.
But Stadler says HPW's approach is unique in that it combines meditation with community and nature.
They create a very safe environment, and they make it one in which people feel comfortable to be open with others and to be able to express some of the things that are challenges for them.
I do that when I'm like...
So what's always grounded me in life is the thought of infinity.
Back in the yurt, it's towards the end of the day, and Lee Lesser asks the veterans to draw something that gives them strength. Nathan Keith draws an infinity symbol.
We could go anywhere and do anything, but we forget that. Whitewater rafting, going into the military, becoming an Eagle Scout, coming to this thing today, you can do this.
Leslie Keith is also feeling more hopeful after the retreat.
I felt like I was understood. I felt like somebody had empathy for me. That's what I really appreciated, and that's what I've always wanted. I just want people to have empathy for me.
A few weeks later, the Keiths are thinking about the kinds of changes they want to make in their lives. At this point, it's nothing too ambitious. Clean the house, get out into nature, go for walks. They also want to attend another HPW event. This time, Nathan says he won't resist. For Cross Currents, I'm Judy Silber.